Amen. So I need us concentrating this evening. I'm going to start in. I fear that this will be a series because I may not be able to finish tonight. And but God is with us. Hallelujah. Amen. So Romans 15 verse 4. There's nothing that will separate us from this scripture as long as I hold this microphone. Hallelujah. Romans 15 verse 4 says, whatever things that were written before, they were written before. The word there for me is before. Whatever things that were written before, they were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. Through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hallelujah. And so what that tells me ordinarily is that if you think that anything is making you unsettled, okay, then you need to open up the scriptures, hallelujah, and learn from the stories. Okay, so one day I remember the story of David, how they had gone to war, he and the men, they went to war, and they came back, and they found out everybody had been taken away, all their wives and their children had been taken away. And then the men turned to him and said, this is all your fault. And then David was left alone. Even his own wife and children had been taken, everybody, and then he was left alone. And then the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Knowing truly well that God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we'll be learning from the scriptures. And what's the purpose of our learning from the scriptures? So that we may have patience, okay? We have hope in the patience and the comfort that we see in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus, the third chapter, and I'm reading from verse 13. Be unto God. Amen. Are we there? Exodus 3 and verse 13. It says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Verse 15 refers, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Yeah, hallelujah. Don't worry. You know, there was a time we sent my friend had a problem. He couldn't sleep for days. And we had to take him to the hospital. We take him to Yaba Left. And when we got to Yaba Left, the doctor, they were quizzing him and say, are you hearing voices? So the quiz said, are you hearing? I said, no. He said, are you seeing? Somebody saying, do something. He said, no. He said, okay, you're still fine. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so this is what God told Moses. Tell them that I am sent you. And he said, how am I going to describe this I am that sent you that sent me to them? He said, surely this is how you are going to describe me. You shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. And when I was ruminating over this, it occurred to me that God was bragging about himself being God of Jacob, God of Isaac, and God of Abraham. Okay? And see, Moses was asking, let's go back to verse 13. He said, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they say to me, what is his name? Okay? He said, what shall I say to them? So the question Moses was asking is that when they asked me for your name, what am I going to say to them? Okay? And then God replies and says, I am who I am. And that looked a bit too technical. Okay? And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Okay? So I am who I am. That's what he called himself. And then God looked at it and said, it's technical. You know, sometimes when you tell some people certain things, you look at it and say, they may not be able to cope with that definition. Let me give them a step further. And then he began to break it down. And verse 15 says, moreover, he said to him, so after telling him, I am who I am. So some people have decided that I am means that in any situation you find yourself, God is. Hallelujah. Okay? So if you find yourself in need of something, God is. I am. If there, and is a present in the tense that is used, is present continuous. Abi, I am. Okay? It's not past. I am. So it's a present thing. So then he says, moreover, he says to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of... So he said, the Lord God of your fathers, comma, then the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And you know what? After that, go to verse 16. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, of Jacob, appeared to him, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. Go back to verse 15. Can you see that? Go to verse 17. It says, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to the land flowing with milk and honey. Next one. Then they will hear my voice, and you shall come and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt. Go back to verse 15. When he said in verse 13 that I am have sent you, then he went in verse 15 and said, moreover, tell them that the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, do you realize that Moses did not ask him any question again? Hallelujah. Meaning that God's answer, that the fact that God said, I'm the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, was enough to paint a picture for Moses. He could identify with that God. Hallelujah. Amen. And to him, that was enough definition for him to take to the people. Because when he first told him, go, I'm sending you, before their conversations in verse 13, when he was saying go, he said, what am I going to call your name as? Okay? That was an encounter God and Moses, that's an encounter that he looked and says, I'm hearing a voice, I'm speaking with somebody, and then I'm going to say that, how am I going to describe you to these people? And then he says, and then God said that, and then he keeps quiet, meaning that for him, he was able to identify with that, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And then he knows that if he goes to the children of Israel and say the same thing, then he'll be fine with them as well. Hallelujah. God needed no... So if you look at that I am that I am, it is it will be synonymous with the fact that he's God of Jacob, he's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? So if you sit down and say, God is I am that I am, all you need to do is think of Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. So all these people that they're always complaining and say that Jacob is a swindler, they should think twice. Okay? Because that's the name that God has described himself as. That this I am that I am, this is who I am. The God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. So, I begin to wonder, why is the God of Abraham so special? Why is the God of Isaac so special? And why is the God that is described as God of Jacob so special that generations after them, okay, can still relate with that God? At least Moses is not the son of, he's not the son of Jacob. So he's not the generation after Jacob. Abi? And he's definitely not. In fact, there are miles and poles apart. Hallelujah. Amen. And at this time, also remember that at this time, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. So Moses' mission was to go and take them out of slavery. Meaning that after Jacob, Joseph had come, become prime minister. Joseph had gone. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 50. I think the last three verses. So that means Joseph had gone and they had spent years in slavery. Right? How many years? I can't remember. If you remember, help me. How many years did they spend in slavery? How many? 430. I said, you help me now. So I remember 430 and I wanted to be sure so that when people online, they won't say that man didn't know it. Amen. So I'm saying that encounter in Exodus between God and Moses was referring to God of Isaac, God of Abraham, and God of Jacob, right? And we know that Jacob gave birth to Joseph. Joseph, by the help of his brothers, took the whole of the sons of Israel to the land of Egypt, okay? And then they became very strong, and then they became slaves because there came a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Abi? So they always tell us that there was a time will come when a Pharaoh will not know Joseph. It's just like in this country now. If you ask people what is the importance of June 12th, some people don't know it. What's June 12th? 1993 was important. Some people don't know it. Hallelujah. If you mention some people's name, they just be laughing. They don't know it. Okay? That's the generation that do not know Joseph. So why should I sit at home? Because you people want to celebrate June 12. They don't understand what it is. Okay? Now, after Joseph had reigned as prime minister in Egypt and he was dying, see what he said to the children of Israel. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. He says, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you to the land and bring you out of this land to the land to which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Amen. The next one. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you and you shall surely carry up my bones from here. Amen. Hallelujah. So he died 110 years old and they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And they did not leave his bones in Egypt. Hallelujah. But verse 25. Verse 24. He says, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of land, out of this land, to the land that he had promised, he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Amen. Hallelujah. So that all the generations, so the generation after Joseph and all generations understood that there's a promise for Isaac, there's a promise for Abraham, and there's a promise to Jacob concerning the land to which they will return. And so Joseph was just telling that when you are going back, he said he will surely visit you. When you are going back, take my bones. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to show you that when people rightly divide the word of truth, they will be a good representation or good ambassadors of God Almighty. Amen. And then when people are describing God using your name, it will not cause a confusion. Amen. It won't cause a confusion. Nobody's, what are they saying? Is it the same movie that we know? Hallelujah. Amen. It cannot be. If you know, some people say, this person said I should call you. They will start complaining. They will start, say, are you sure? Are you sure? So, in James chapter 5, I think verse 16. Yeah, sorry, verse 11. It says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. And what's the end intended by the Lord? What's the end intended by the Lord? What's the end intended by the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. So, when we come to Bible study, it's all right, don't worry. I just want to show you certain things. So that when we are reading the scriptures, we are able to manage and follow it. So, the answer is on the board. Okay? The answer is on the board. It's the next sentence after the end intended by God. Okay? That means you are very good children. When you say, you don't copy in the exam room. If it's me, I will have gotten the answer. Because... Hallelujah. Amen. It says, so that we can, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Amen. That's the end intended by God. Okay? And that's what Job made us see. So if you are going to be looking, so if Job's name ever comes to your mind, what you should be thinking about God is that he's compassionate and he's what? And is merciful. Hallelujah. That's the only person God bragged about that me I know of. He told the devil, say, have you not seen Job? He will not form my hand. Let us use modern day language. Abi, if you go to Job chapter, is it chapter 1 or chapter 3? I think it's chapter 3. Is it chapter 3? That one is digression. But I think it's chapter 3. You see there. And that if you continue, you see that I say, have you not seen Job? Then he say, okay. It's because you have put your everything around him. Hallelujah. Okay. So the question is, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Okay. This story about Joseph tells us that, look, God promised them a land. Each one of them. Abi? In the book of, in Genesis, Genesis chapter 26. No, not 26, sorry. It's Genesis 13. Or 16, sorry. I think 13. Sorry, I mixed up my notes. Yeah, Genesis chapter 13. And from verse 14. It says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northwards, southwards, eastwards, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as dust of the earth. Amen. That's what he said to him. So if you go to previous verses, you will see from verse 10. So when Abraham and Isaac, they left together, Abraham and Lot, they left together, okay, and then they were living together, and they were growing and expanding. And then there became no space for their livestock. And then their herdsmen began to fight. Okay? And then Abraham said, look, so that there will not be any scuffle between all of between our herdsmen, let's separate. Okay. He said, verse 8 says, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. It's not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot, in verse 10 says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. Okay? And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zorah. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. It says, but the men of Sodom were wicked, exceedingly wicked, and sinful against the Lord. Verse 14 says, and Lot said to Abraham, after Lord had separated from him, lift your eyes now, and look from the place where you are, not toward eastward, southward, and westward. Which place was he? Which place was Abraham? So two people have turned to compass. Mr. Ajayi said east. Toby said north. So which place was Abraham? God was telling him in verse 14. Go to verse 14. He says, and the Lord said to him, after lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Then this one. Look north, south, east, and west. But where was he? Have to be following, okay, so that you don't miss it. So where was he? So you see all the things that we are seeing playing out in the world, in the Middle East right now, there is absolutely no controversy about the land of Israel in the Bible, okay? There's no controversy about it. God had mapped it out for them, and then Joshua came and divided it according to the tribes. Abi, but when God was talking to Abraham, where was Abraham when God was talking to him? When God said this to him, where was he? Thank you. Go back to verse. He says, and Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And then verse 13 says that what? We'll go to verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lord has separated from him, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. Hallelujah. So from where he was, which was the land of Canaan, eastward, westward, northward, southward. He said, lift up your eyes and see. I will give you. Here I go. Next verse. For all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants forever. Hallelujah. So if you were standing from Canaan, you will see. The same promise. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26. No, I'm just showing you how to read these things. Genesis 26 from verse 1. So from the land of Canaan, this is what God had promised you. If you look, just like Mrs. Ajere and Toby were doing like this, they will take over. Okay? It says, there was famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gera. Okay? And then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all the lands which I will perform. I give to you and your descend. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands, and I'll perform the oath which I swore to your to Abraham your father. Next, and I will make you make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to you to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Okay? But where was he when God was speaking to him? Eh? This is reminding me of when I was in school. When I was preparing for common entrance. You know, you have past questions. Question this year, this year, this year. So there's a particular question. They put 0.625. times 10 raised to power 3. And I missed it. Okay? My mother was very angry. She gave me a knock and taught me this is it. So when I went for the real exam, they brought out the same question, but they changed it. They now put 0.00625 times 10 raised to power 3. Me, I remember 0.625 times 10 raised to power 3. I just put the answer, 625. When I got home, you know, you normally we check answer. When I got home, oh, I come and see beating. When I say, oh, why is your head so spongy? I can't remember. This is my mother's favorite one. Say, why is your head so spongy? Why are you not retaining anything? You know, sponge. When you pour water, you pull it out like this. Amen. You know what? The answer Kenny gave me. You see, this is actually. Our own brain is not spongy. It's like mortar. It retains water. Amen. So, at the time he was speaking, they had this encounter. He was in the land of Gera. He's there in, I think it's verse 2 or so. But he said, I said he went to Gera. But if you look at the definition of the land of Gera in the Bible, it says, Gera is considered a city located within the larger region of Canaan. Hallelujah. Amen. Specifically in the southern part near Philistine territory, meaning that Gera was a town situated within the land of Canaan, inhabited by Canaanites and often mentioned in stories, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So, his father was in Canaan. God said, look, left, right, center. Every, I'll give to you. He was in part of Canaan. It was inside Canaan. And God said, anywhere I tell you to go, I am going to redeem that promise I gave to your father. Hallelujah. The Lord God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28 from verse 10. It says, now Jacob went from Beersheba and went towards Haran. 28 verse 10. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it on his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. And his top reached to the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending. Okay. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up, and it topped. They were ascending and descending on it. Okay. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, your descendants shall be as dust of the earth, and shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. In which land was this? This one is not there. say, in which land was this? What did Jacob call the name of this place? Go to verse 15. 16. 17. What did he call the name of this place? What verse is that? Go to verse 19. It says, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been lost previously. So if you go back to verse, I think it was in verse 10, they said it was in the land of Hebron. He went out from Beersheba and went towards Aran. Okay? When you look at the position of Bethel in the scriptures, Bethel is where? In Canaan. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 14. Says here, 13. Let me see 13. Yeah. He said, and the Lord stood above it. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as dust. You shall spread abroad to the west, the east, to the north, and to the south. You know that when he told Abraham to look, Abraham was where? In Canaan. And he said he should look to the north, to the west, to the east, and to the south. Okay? Every land that you see, I will give to you. And when we were looking at Joseph, was it Joseph we were looking at? Yeah, Joseph, in Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, he said, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land to which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Okay? And then he told them, you shall carry my bones. Hallelujah. God swore to them concerning the same land. He said, to the land he swore to Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. So if the children of Israel, that land that he swore to them is home. That's where they can call home. 2 days ago, my sister was telling me, please give me address for the local government where we come from, the ward, and the senatorial district. I was laughing because neither of the two of us have lived there before. We just know that my father said that we come from this part of the country. So I started laughing. I said, even if they tell you that, yeah, come and take us home, what will you do? So if you can't tell them, I said, better tell them that home is where you are. Hallelujah. Okay, so I just sent to her that, well, we come from here, and this is central, and this is the world. Whatever she wants to do with it, let's go and do with it. But it's always a reference to a dwelling place. Hallelujah. So if the people of Israel would think of themselves as a nation, they have a land that they must refer to. Everybody. Okay? So everybody has a father's house. Abi, don't worry if it's not your father that built the house. Don't worry. But we've always said it, that the house, the home, is not the physical structure. It is where your loved ones are, okay? So whether it's rented or whether it was given to you, it's not a problem. As long as you get there and as at that time you occupy it and it's, you are the reference to that place. So everything that the Israelites can think about God about of will be the fact that he has given us a land in which we can call our own. Hallelujah. So when he was talking to Moses in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 3, when he was speaking to Moses, and he said, I tell them that I am sent to you. He said, when they ask me who this I am, what is his name? He said, tell them it's the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. The three things, the three of them have in common, is the fact that he promised them the same land. Hallelujah. And that they can refer to as home. Amen. You have and understanding. And it says, we say that the Old Testament, Romans 15:4, says that the scriptures were written for our learning. Okay? So that we have patience and comfort. And then through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we have hope. Abi? Hallelujah. If you look at, as I said, I don't think we'll finish this thing today. So when God was promising them all these things, okay, they were different generations. One has passed on, and then another one is reigning, and then another person is reigning. Then in the book of Numbers, the Bible records this and says, God is not a man. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he said, I will not do it. Or as he spoken, I will not make it good. Okay? Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 17 to 20, it says, thus God, determining to show abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Hebrews 6, verse 8, 17 to 30, Abby? 17 to 20. It says, by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steady, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Verse 17 says, by two immutable things, God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Because he has sworn by an oath. And who did he swear by an oath to? Amen. Who does the scriptures refer to that he swore by an oath to? With? God caught an oath, a covenant with who? Who did God cut a covenant with? By an oath. Eh? This story is spiritual. Who did he cut a covenant with? Eh? Eh? I can't hear. No. Who did he cut? So, this... Where were you before? Because this particular story, it was, he said God made a covenant, an oath with Abraham. Okay? And then he looked at everything and said, there was nothing greater than him that he could swear by. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he cut the covenant with Abraham. Okay? And then the Bible is saying here that by two immutable things, he cannot lie. No, come in. God swore by himself. Okay? When he made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself. He found nothing greater than him. He swore by himself. Okay? And then, I want to read something to you. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. Hallelujah. Amen. And I tell you, and I kid you not, a man's word will help you locate him. Amen. That word gives him a name. Abi? So if I am of a good character, when you mention my name, what will come to your mind? without good character. Hallelujah. He says that God has magnified his word above his name. So the blood covenant that God cut with Abraham, my device is giving me okay, so we'll come back to that. So the three of them, Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, God had the same thing in store for them. He said, this land I promised is certainly yours. And so when he was describing himself, he was telling the children, I'm the one that I've given your nation a name and a hope. And a place to call their own. So everybody in the land of Israel understood that what God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob means. Hallelujah. A common reference. And the same way that he had made himself known, the same way that he has given us Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The New Testament being, he has given us Christ as a common reference. Hallelujah. It says that James, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. That's what we all have in common. Amen. So if anybody is going to be describing God to you, it has to be by the name of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. No longer will we look and say, God of Isaac, God of Abraham. I'm not saying it's bad. Hallelujah. But that common reference point for all of us is that Son that he shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why if you and I will be doing anything concerning our relationship with God, the reference will be Christ. Amen. And so, if we say we are Christ-like, everybody around us expects us to have the same inkling as the Christ that was sacrificed. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, this is the foundation of things. You can take God's word for it. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Amen. It is the gift of God. In Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 5, this is our own common reference. It says, who have believed, Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 5, who have believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Amen. And we know that this is referring to Christ. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he says, whom himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that you have died, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Amen. So if we will think of God, I am that I am, what we'll be thinking of is the one that has given us his son. Hallelujah. That is our own reference point. Amen. And everything that we do revolves around him. See, everything that has happened to the land of Israel right now is concerning that land. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what the struggle is. Amen. When the dragon was kicked out of heaven, he said he was kicked out onto the earth. And what was he going to do? He had come to the earth to wage war against those who will hold on to the testimony of who? Of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The thing that God had promised them, that's what they are waging war against them for. The devil is to wage war against those who hold on to this common entity that God has given to us, which is Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. So we have to understand the very basis of our existence, that which we have to make reference to, so that when this war comes, we can stand. Hallelujah. And so when we are thinking of God, okay, we think of Christ, and how much more what Christ has done for us. Hallelujah. And I keep always say it, the promises of God are always there, but there's a responsibility for you and I to carry out so that we continually live in the fulfillment of these promises. I am that I am. It says, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's how they identified with him then. And now, we identify with him by the fact that he gave his only begotten son. And the Bible says, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. And it is there that all men might be saved. And the only way they can be saved is by Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. What comes to your mind when you have a message from God is the fact that if he gave his only begotten son, and the Bible says two immutable things, he cannot lie. If for him to have given his only begotten son, every other thing that he says he will do, he will surely do it. Amen. But what we should look out for in his word are what are the promises, okay, and what are the responsibilities on our path. And the Lord will help us. Let's rise to our feet. If you want to title this understanding who God is to your generation. Understanding who God is to your generation. And in this age and time, God is the one that gave us Christ and has solved all the problems. In him, there was nothing that was made that was made. Hallelujah. Everything consists in him. Amen. Let's talk to him this morning, this evening. Next week we continue. Next week will be School of Miracles. Hallelujah. And we'll continue in School of Miracles. We'll continue looking at understanding God is to our generation. Let's talk to him that indeed he opened up our eyes of understanding, giving us enlightened in his word. Father, we thank you. Thank you for who you are to us. And thank you because it constantly comes before us that this is the God that we serve. Thank you because it's beyond the physical or the material things, but the spiritual matters that you have endowed us with. You said you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We give you all the grace and all the glory. Let your name be exalted, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.